A lot of the Bitcoiners have worked with themselves, like their body. They have worked with finance. I see a gap, and I hope that they're going to start really getting in touch with their own, like, emotional, traumatic past. Sooner we open up our heart and start healing our emotional bodies, then when we build civilization, which is what we're doing, we're not going to have to carry old wounds from our parents or our grandparents. We have inside the spark, the light, to really find our truth if we are willing to go deep. It's not easy.
Welcome to Live with Bitcoin, where we delve into the human side of Bitcoin by focusing on Bitcoiners' personal transformations and life stories. I'm your host, Vivian. Thanks for tuning in. If you like and want to support our mission on shining light on the human side of Bitcoin, remember to subscribe to this channel, leave a comment, or send a few sats from link in the description. Today, we're welcoming a guest, Monica. Monica Bravel, born in Bogota, Colombia, and is based in Miami Beach. Monica is a multidisciplinary artist and polymath. A first-time author, Monica's book, The Nature of My Reality, explores her journey from disempowerment to self-awareness. Well, thank you, Monica, for joining us. Can't wait to delve into the journey of the journey between disempowerment and self-awareness. That's, I guess, the most epic journey one can ever go on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I first encountered your work from Breedlove's podcast, and I'm a longtime fan of astrology, and I'm saying this publicly because I know how many people are probably rolling their eyes right now, and especially Bitcoiners. We're talking about astrology on a Bitcoin podcast, and that was a starting point of me getting acquainted to your work. And you were talking about time and energy, which is the topics that I obsessed with. We met shortly after that, actually, in El Salvador during Adapting Bitcoin, and I got the chance to experience your energy and had the honor to have the book with me today, and we'll be diving into a lot of the topics, The Nature of My Reality by Monica. And I've been really enjoying this book. I want to explore with you what astrology really is and how it can serve as a tool rather than a constraint, and how it relates to the world of Bitcoin and self-sovereignty. So let's start from your personal journey. Can you share a bit about your background and what led you to explore astrology?
So when I was very young, I was always questioning the world. So I always look up in the stars and I asked, my dad was still alive, and I would ask him very, like, deep questions. I was always like, how is the world made? What are the names of the stars? So I like, the first thing I learned was the name of the stars, but I was always fascinated to look out there. And I didn't know anything about astrology per se, but I kind of knew everything about astronomy, like the planets and the satellites. And I was always fascinated by it. I think around the age of, I don't know, 9 or 10, my father died when I was 8 and a half, 9. So that impacted my life tremendously. That made me have an incredible relationship to time, which is something very important with astrology. And I started, my questions were deeper. Why did he die? Where did he go? Where do dead people go? How come I still feel him around? So I was driving everybody crazy with my questions. And I used to be an avid reader, only that right now I like to listen more than read. I remember, like, I was just devouring books, just devouring them. So my mom, she coped with me. So she subscribed me to, like, a book club when I was little, and she gave me money so I could buy books. So there was this very big book fair in Bogota that happens around April every year. And for me, it was like waiting for that month to go and get a lot of books. So my mom, she was always working. So we had a driver, not that we were rich or anything, but it was the best way to get the kids to classes and stuff like that. So this driver, which I used to love very much and manipulate, like, whatever I wanted, we went to the book fair, and I found a guy who was an older man he was an astrologer, and I started asking him questions because I was very fascinated by a book he had that is called Ephemeris, and he has all the data of all the planets for, like, a century. And I couldn't believe that you actually could point a place in the planet where they are, and it's a number that defines the place in the sky. And I was very fascinated by that. So to make the long story short, I end up, like, getting him to give me the book, but I don't have money enough because it's a very expensive book. So I ended up asking him to come with me to my house because my mom has to give him the money. My mom was like, what the hell? I was like, just give him the money. So he gave me the book, and it became a very important book that I would not understand, but I would always open up and kind of like, you know, like look at it and say, please give me all the information. So many years passed by, but I was always fascinated. Then I learned that this thing that I wanted to find out in the stars was called astrology. This is one thing I always do when I don't understand something. I go to the origin of the word. So if you go etymologically to the word astrologos, it has the logic in the stars. So this is the logic or the reasoning of the planets, the stars. And I know right now cannot be, I mean, not for me, but for many people, as you will say, they roll their eyes. It's because they don't understand the relationship that we have had. And when I say we, is humanity has had with the stars, a relationship from very early on. Any culture that you go, ancestors, that always look to the stars for knowledge, like even the Taoist. I did study with the Taoist people from your culture, and that you can also read time in a different way. You have the I Ching, you have many different ways. You count, for instance, 12 animals. It's the same as zodiac. And you also have the elements, like five. So it's all mathematics. At the very end, it's a game of math that is trying to make sense. So the idea of astrology is like you're trying to find the relationships between these bodies that are going around us, and we can see them every now and then. The moon is every 28 days, the sun is every day, 24 hours. Then you can go Mercury's 88 days, Venus is 224. So people started observing, obviously at that time there was no social media, so people actually didn't have distraction. So they will look at the star and they will start pointing that star again there. And then they start kind of calculating the time between one placement and the other. And then they started giving meaning to that. So that's when mythology starts coming in, because mythology is something that we have used in order to understand who we are. So we use our images of ourselves. We have storytell, like our ancestors. Probably your grandparents told you stories about the ancestors. My grandparents always told me stories. So it is through the stories that we can relate to one another. So astrology, in a way, is a tool. And it is a language. When people say, I don't believe in astrology, and I said, good for you, because it's not a belief system. You don't have to say, do you believe in French? What do you mean? It's like, do you speak French? Yes. So do you believe in it? No, I know it. And I said, well, it's the same thing with astrology. You know how to read it. Same thing with, like, I love to read financial charts. I'm pretty good at it because I'm good at reading a chart. So you don't say to a trader, do you believe in the chart? You say, well, no, I know how to read it. So because what you're looking is for relationships. So astrology is very relational, because nothing in astrology is static. The sun moves, the earth moves, the moon moves. We're just in constant movement. So what we're trying to track is the relationship of every movement, and then to bring harmonics there, which is the study of the relationships. So there are certain relationships that are more harmonious than others. Let's say when two planets are together, they take their energy and they expand this energy. They make it more like a strong. If they're opposite, they're actually confronting each other, like the full moon, and the moon goes to the sun like, yo, and the other, yo. So you can see each other. This is a little bit like Libra. I know you're a Libra. So Libra is about finding harmony. And it's about, how do you find harmony in yourself? You have to reflect yourself onto the other. So this is, you start representing astrology because it has some sort of meaning. Then you have other challenging aspects, which I adore. I adore anything that is challenging, that is the 90 degrees or 45 degrees. That means it's a tension and it's a critical moment. And if you look at the etymology of crisis and being critical, it's a decision one has to make. So astrology is actually a language that, if you know how to relate to it, and it's not about like, oh, I can't go out because tomorrow Mercury's retrograde. I mean, this is not what I do. It's more like I'm going through a lot of changes inside of myself. I'm retrospective, I'm reflective, and I want to see, to corroborate, if what I'm feeling and I'm experiencing in my life is something that correlates to the movement of the planet. So it has become a way for me to double check that I'm not making things up, that I'm not being influenced by other people, but other than, like, I can see what's going on in relationship to the planet.
Why do you think astrology is so oftentimes dismissed? We see this in Bitcoin community too, and there's oftentimes a link between astrology and being superstitious. And why, in a different area of order and science and logic, are accepted commonly, but when the planets and the stars as a science, as logic, are not the same?
I think it has to do a little bit historically, because back in the day, astronomy and astrology were the same science or the same way of language rather than science. When people are very logical, they're very logical, and everybody has a logic stream and everybody has an abstract or emotional stream, only that some people are more logic than others. I have the capacity to have both, so I can see patterns and things, but I have more of the abstract. So that's why I'm an artist and I do colors and I do stuff and I'm very open. I have people, Bitcoin is telling me that's a pseudoscience. So I just laugh all the time because I don't take it as an insult. I just say these people are ignorant. Ignorance is not a pejorative. It's like you're an ignorant person when you don't know. So these people don't know about it. So that's why they're reacting to it for some reason. And maybe their church or their religion or their ancestors said that that was superstition. So it has a lot to do with how they perceive reality. And if their own perception of reality, there's certain things that are superstitious. They're just it's very easy to understand about something. You have to locate it and label it in a place that is comfortable for you. So I think that they do it in a way to feel more comfortable with themselves, because maybe they feel threatened by the idea that there's other things beyond our material life. You're relating to something that is in the unconscious, that's immaterial. It's not like I can touch it. So you say, oh, I have to believe in that, but that's not in the Bible. Oh, so then that is not true. And so I think there's a lot of mystery in what is really something that is accepted socially, like a religion, because religions are social constructs. Philosophy is a social construct. We agree that this philosopher said this, so we're going to abide by that, philosophy. Or we agree that there's this ritual, so we are going to go to church or temple, and we agree to that. But this is something that is agreeable for is accepted. That doesn't mean that it's true, because I can be outside of a church, I can be outside of a philosophy, and I can still be breathing and being my own person, right? So I think that astrology is more connected with what Carl Jung called the idea of the integrating the unconscious, because the unconscious is that part of ourselves that we don't know yet. And we're going to have a journey in our lives to try to see what arises so then we can evolve through crises or hopefully through good stuff, because we don't want to live in it. So I feel that it's a little bit of ignorance. And my invitation to people is like, be open-minded. I was a very radical person until like 5 years ago. So you will bring some subjects and I was like, oh, no, that's pure BS. And now I see myself and I said, what happened to me? I said, I stepped out of my comfort zone and I started reading different studying big. I mean, Bitcoin helped me so much for that, because if I see my life before and now, I was such a different person. It's because I didn't want to get out of my comfort zone. I didn't want to listen to new things. And if you don't want to listen about it, then you're going to say, oh, it's this and that. You judge it. There's a judgment. And unfortunately, people that think that they believe that astrology is a belief system and it's superstition, whatever, they're not relating to it in a way that it can be helpful. It's a tool. For me, it's a tool.
For sure.
So, but I'm not going to convince you, because I'm not trying to convince anybody. So whoever is open to it is great. I stop being bothered by it. It used to bother me because this is what was happening. I thought that I needed to excuse myself. Now, if people come and say pseudoscience, and I go, all right, like I'm not going to like this. But other people, like after I was on BreedLove, I had a lot of people calling me. They want to do the chart. So I know that there are more people curious about it than not.
Yeah, totally. And on top of that, one of the argument I hear from people who are skeptical about the whole astrology, cosmology, the stars in general, is the fact that they themselves being a probabilistic person, and
Yes.
they believe the nature of reality is probabilistic. So here my question to you is, do you personally see the nature of reality as deterministic or probabilistic?
That was a good question I had, like very deep when I was 45. I actually made a piece. It's called The Landscape of Belief. And it's a projection. I do many projections. So I projected letters from the book of Italo Calvino, Invisible Cities, which is a beautiful book, because it's the story of Kublai Khan with Marco Polo in China back in the day. And Kublai asked Marco Polo, can you tell me everything about everything I own? And he starts telling the story. We don't even know if he spoke the language. So I took the book, which is one of the most beautiful magic magical books ever written. I took the book and I built all these cities, and they were projected in this transparent glass, and it was very magical. So I wanted people to question reality, and I wanted people to question destiny. So the question was, is destiny something that is given to me, or is something that I make? And then the answer came, it's a combination of two. Because I'm born with certain conditions, like I'm born in Colombia, I'm born a woman, I'm born in a year. And then I have certain parents, one dies, he had to die, and my mom stayed. So I'm influenced and conditioned by what happened. And then it's up to me to actually become passive and allow the life to become whatever it gives me, because I don't move. And so I could have turned, for instance, to be a very victimized person because I didn't have a father. I could have said everything. Oh, I don't have a father. Actually, you know what I did, Vivian? It was quite intense. I moved to another school because I didn't like the fact that people were looking at me down. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, no. So I actually moved to another school and I didn't tell anybody for 4 years that my father was dead. Because I was a little bit ashamed. Like, I don't want people to treat me. And then somebody said, why are you doing that? And I said, it's good. Like, I was very strong about it. Now I understand I was protecting myself from feeling the pain of growing up without a father. But this is very interesting, because I think that we all have stories that shape us since we're little. So astrologers, like, you have a toolbox. And when you don't know what you have in the toolbox, you probably start doing many things with your hands. And then you open the toolbox and then you know that, oh, I had a hammer, I had a spoon, like that. So for me, it's just a toolbox full of tools that if you are aware of what you have, then you don't have to go against yourself. Because what happens, unfortunately, we are molded by society. So parents, family, and school tell us that we have, by 18, you have to do that, by 30, you have to do that. But, and you and me right now, we know that it's not like that. Like, we're Bitcoiners, so we're not like that. But unfortunately, a lot of people live their lives in a predeterministic way, because they don't understand, they have not connected to their willpower. So it's a combination. It's like, this is what I got, this is what I'm going to make out of it.
Right. And if it's a combination, where does astrology sit between the two?
Well, so for instance, you can live your life without astrology and be a happy life, because you will always find tools how to evolve. There's psychology, there's somatic practice, there's dance, or people do ayahuasca and do all kinds. I mean, people do their thing and they find ways to reconnect to their spirit. Because at the very end, this is a very spiritual search. You want to connect to something that is bigger than you, more. You want to understand what is the direction of your life that you incarnated. So your flesh, but there's something spiritual that comes from source that is telling you, you know, let's do something. Some people don't feel that, you know, I do. So for me, it was very important to understand if I was always doing the right thing. I remember I started having readings very early on in my question to astrologers, like, am I in the right road? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, no, because if I took the wrong road, tell me, because I don't want to be living the wrong life until I understood that it was not wrong. But I just wanted to make sure that I was in the right place at the right time and taking it. So I think that it becomes this tool. Again, it's, you can use many others. So for me, it has become a tool that I can decipher, because it's language. So once you start speaking the language of the archetypes, and in the book, I don't know if you have arrived to the second part, there's like all the signs and their keywords. So when you learn the keywords, you start embodying them. It's like almost like an exercise of like, okay, Aries, like I want to be free. I want to initiate, you know, I want to be alone. Like, oh, there's more people I didn't know. Or Taurus is like, I need to survive. I need to be self-reliant. I need to find what my needs are, and so on and so forth. So you start actually learning these archetypes, which I love the word archetype, because archetype comes from Greek. It means primal form. So it's the first form that we're coming from our unconscious, and is identifying, is helping us identify with something that we're feeling. So that's why mythology has a lot of archetypes. And that's why we start speaking that language. Your chart is very interesting, because you're seeking for truth since you were little. Very deep truth. But the way you're trying to find this truth is very unconscious. So you want to go deep. It's like, it's not just one question, where is the book in the bookshelf, and you pick it up. It's like, I want all of it. You want to immerse yourself in this quest. So your life is driven by that. And maybe that's what I find out. And then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. When you were little, there's some kind of like the integrity of your chart is like, you're very structured and you're very disciplined. And probably you got a lot of responsibility growing up from home. or a lot of expectations from your parents, let's say. But you also have given yourself that ambition and that expectation. So there's something very, with a lot of integrity of you, that you know you have a path to have to seek, and you know it takes time, but you're willing to do that time. And so part of your chart is to give yourself the time to be free, but give the balance that when you get to wherever you want to go, you will find time for your heart and your family. That's what your chart is in general. You're a traveler, you're a pilgrim that you're going to find. But the most important thing is that what you're searching for is not outside of you. What you're searching is inside of you, and is what is going to give you joy once you find it. But finding it is not the thing, it's being it.
Yeah. Having,
yes. So that's,
yes, it's being it. My understanding is your birth chart. So everybody, if you know your exact moment of birth and the location of it, and then you can plug that in, you will get a chart basically demonstrating the relative positions of planets, stars in,
yes,
the moment where you were born, and where do the planets fall in your own kind of little house.
It's a picture line. Yes, it's a
in your little houses, and they're the meaning of these planets being in different houses of yours will embody you with different personalities and characteristics in different areas of your life. So my question here is, if that's the gist of astrology charts and the prediction inside of it, where does this practice sit on the scale of the world being deterministic and probabilistic? Because if you're saying these quality of these planets landing on your house and giving you these traits, that sounds quite deterministic to me.
Yes. So, okay. So let's put it this way. It's like, again, we're going to go back to the soul has a desire to evolve. So it decides to come to this planet Earth. And this planet, this dimension is all about proof of work. Any other dimension is not. It's perfect. But this one is proof of work. So if you're going to do proof of work, you have to do work. I mean,
why this one is proof of work and the other ones are not?
Yeah, exactly. This one, the third dimension is proof of work, because it's the only one that we have the willpower, and the willpower is going to give us the alternative to say yes or no. And when you're in the moment of the why, where you have to decide between the crisis moment, your soul, if you're connected to your soul, really what it wants, a desire, is going to choose what is right for you. If you're afraid of confronting that because you're afraid that your parents or your spouse or whatever university is telling you something, then you're going to go against your own desire. Now, so let's say that the chart is giving you a floor plan, but you always have choice. You always have choice. So the plan is like, okay, you have the potential of leaving because you felt like I have to find outside of myself. But let's say that you were afraid of leaving because you're afraid that whatever, oh, I don't want to learn English, like that's too big for me or something. There's something else that is not giving you. So you're going to start living a life that is not yours. And with time, we can see a lot of people right now that they're living a life that they're told to use. Like, you know, the NPCs were full of them. And a person doesn't become part of that with astrology, but astrology can help you. A lot of people that call me to do the readings, they just want to check. And when they have the readings, like, oh my God, I knew it. And I'm like, of course you have it. You know it. It's there. It's part of your soul journey. What happens is, like, remember, the day you were born, the time you were born is fixed, but you are moving and the planets are moving. So you have a potential, but then as it moves and you move and the planets move, we're evolving at the same time. So there are times where we're going to have a little bit more of hardship because the situations that were harmonious when we were born then become no harmonious. So for instance, my chart is full of like good aspects. Like everything is, hey, we love you. But then when I was like 45, 50, I was like, what is happening? I had a lot of crises that then, because of astrology, I was able to see, okay, so this is my time in my life where I actually have to challenge myself. Mm-hmm. And because of it, I did not go crazy. I could have gone completely cuckoo. So I started using it. And one thing I want to say, the kind of astrology that I do is called evolutionary astrology. So it uses a very Jungian way of reading it, that is with the Trinity. The archetypes are in triad. So the sign, the planet, and the house, which is the position in the pie, they have the same archetypes. So you start learning them, and then you can make phrases, and that's how you learn. So it's about practice. This is not an astrology that is like, okay, this is what's going to happen. This is like, I have this tendency, but there's two choices. I can actually confront it and live like the light side of it, or I can live the shadow of it. Because everything is bipolar. We're electromagnetic beings. So we're here to synthesize. And this is very important because it's a third dimension, either or. It's the third way, which is the now. This is when you put things together, you go, in this moment, I'm going to choose this. And that's really where willpower becomes important, because people say, oh, but I have my moon in Scorpio, so I can be very harsh. And I said, well, yeah, maybe when I was little and I didn't know how to be nice, I was a very harsh person. But now I know that I can be very giving and compassionate and a lot of stuff, because I decide to take the energy that is the light side of the archetype.
Right. And there's a lot of self-discipline into it, because if you are in tune of all this energy and you know your chart and you're like, oh, I'm a Scorpio or I'm a Libra, I'm this because of this. And if you're like using it as an excuse,
never,
and say that, oh, I am this, so that I'm this, so I'm not going to change and you should change for me, because you can't use astrology this way. No. That's counterproductive.
No, and because it's also very childish, very immature, and this is still like the NPC kind of thing that I'm not going to be responsible, I'm going to blame it on the outside. So there's one beautiful thing about the proof of work, wherever you do it, whether it's astrology or you do it Bitcoin, is that you take responsibility of your own life, of your own work. So if you want to work on yourself and you want to have a better life in many ways, like, you know, you go to the gym, you eat well, like, you know, all the things that we can do as human beings, you need to be responsible. So you cannot blame anybody, not even your parents. Because sometimes you go like, Mom, before I major in this, I was still very upset about certain things. But then it took me, my heart opened so much when I realized that my mom did the best she could under the circumstances of losing her husband very young and all of that. And she used to say this to me, I don't think that if your father was alive, you could have done what you did, because he was a very... Yeah, I was completely crazy. So I now know with astrology that he was meant to be this image that is very blurry for me, because I remember him, but I'm almost sure that everything that I remember, I made up. And if you look in astrology, my father, which is Saturn, is in Pisces, which is very foggy. So I have a very foggy idea of him. And so you can look at these archetypes in the chart and you go, oh, of course I have that. Like, it's not defining me. But it's making me understand.
Right. And then I want to ask you about the relationship through the lens of astrology. What is the relationship between potential and actualization? Because if we think about potential, and a lot of the astrology traits that we're talking about are in a category of potential. Like, there's a potential that you could be doing this because you have these conditions. Mm-hmm. And for us to... wanting to achieve something, and you first have to have that potential. But what, as individuals, how do we view the gap between potential and actualization to guide ourselves to shorten the gap and be...
Yeah, I get it. So let's look at the word potential. So potential is related to potent and to power, okay? So if you want to see what is the powerless part of your chart, you look at Pluto. And Pluto is generational. Pluto takes 10 years, 15 years, 20 years to move. So you belong to the generation of Pluto and Sagittarius. You're very, very beginning. So your generation, which is already at this point, like Gen Z, right? Because of, I mean, although you could say, oh, I'm a millennial. Yeah, no. You are Pluto and Sag. So your generation is powerless in the what is the meaning of things. And you're born in a situation of where the world is lost its meaning. It completely lost its meaning. So you grow up and 20 years later, it's like, guys, what's going on here? Like, even in your culture, like, you know, what is China? What's the old and what's the new? It's like, are we communists or are we capitalists? But where's the people doing Tai Chi? You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't make sense. Okay, I'm going to go to another country because I'm going to have a better way of making sense of that.
Yeah.
So this is the generation that they're questioning meaning. The millennials, which I really identify a lot with them, are questioning, they are powerless in terms of evolution. And they came here to really pull everything together and push it to a place that it's going to be what they're doing. I mean, most of the Bitcoiners are really coming from that generation. They're confronting with a lot of fear everything, you know, all the ghosts, everything like that. And they really want to move it to the next level. So they're very fearless. I'm not saying everybody is, because there's a choice. Maybe some people say, like, oh, I don't want to deal with finding what the truth is, so I'm going to just scroll and that's my truth. Or the millennials that says, I don't care about money, whatever, I'm just going to have this job and it's going to be okay. So because you have that choice. So the individuation path is something that, again, is individual. So the individual decides that it's going to evolve and is willing to do certain things to integrate what is not there yet. So we have to see a little bit the idea of the self and the idea of the self is the completion of everything, but we only see ourselves through the lens of our ego. And it's very important to understand the ego, because it has such a bad rep. People think that the word ego is a bad one. No, ego in Greek means ego, which means I. Egoim is like I am. So I can't see the world. I cannot perceive it other than with my eyes, other than through my education that I had, the language that I speak. So we are perceiving the world through our eyes. Now, what happens is this: when you become aware that there are others, like, you know, you're 3 years old and then you have a little brother and you don't want to have a little brother because your world was your mom, most likely, and your dad. So what do you do with your brother? You kick him. I don't know why there are no more babies that are dead by the older siblings. You hit that baby. You hate them because you start realizing you're not alone. And so this is super important in relationships, about trying to find our own way. Individuation is that you start finding that the way to integrate what your journey is through relationships. So you attract that exactly that you need to learn. Oh my God, I love you. Yeah, me too. And then you start looking at this person, and then 7 years later, it's like, hey, I hate this. It's because you have not integrated. So relationships help so much to mirror what we need to see in ourselves. But I wish that people think of relationship more like that and less like happy Valentine's Day, because that's what people think is like that. Relationships are the most important thing. And I'm going to say something here. Relationship is not just romantic. It's relationship with everything, with your food, with your computer, with your sleep, with anything, situations, persons, and things are here to mirror your behavior, so you start seeing yourself in another way, like from outside. And when you integrate it, that's what Carl Jung calls individuation, which is you become responsible of your path.
Wow. And this is, I find some similarities between what you just said and then with Bitcoin, because what Bitcoin is to us, it's to provide the starting point of having Bitcoiners think about what is my relationship with money in general. Mm-hmm. And then that school of thought can progress in the way that now I've thought about my relationship with money. And once I thought about that, then my whole life kind of changed, because I realized everything's a lie. And if I just thought about this one relationship with money and this much has changed, what if I start thinking about my relationship with more things, like with food, with friends, with parents, with family, with spouse?
So this is important, because you see, money at this point, we think of money like, okay, sound money, you know, the one that it doesn't have any value in the bank, the fiat money, but we know that there's other money. And we think of it materially, because it's going to give us the way to acquire what we need. So let's go back to, before we think about money in human beings, we have to think about essential needs. We need shelter and we need food. Period. That's what we need. And then eventually we need to talk to the neighbor, or we need a hug from our parent, or we need a ball to play outside. And then we need to mate so we can have procreate. And then you need to be successful. So all these steps that you have is like the journey of the human being. Now, the essential needs is a very big priority, because without the priority of like knowing what you need, you cannot value your life. And this is something I'm going to talk about a little bit later about Austrian economics, that for me really makes sense. It's like the most important thing that we have that is scarce is time. And I know this because my father died when I was young. So I know exactly what it means. It's like no brainer, of course, because I wish I had had him for more time. He didn't. So that's what I have to accept. Now, what happens with the essential needs is that once you start relating to them, then your life becomes with different values. And those values are going to give you meaning. When you, like, you acquire values, you give meaning to it. And so your lifestyle becomes a completely different thing. It's like when you find a religion and people say, oh, you guys should come to the religion of Bitcoin. Yeah, okay. And then you do the Bitcoin religion. And then everybody's like, oh, but all Bitcoiners are taking care of their health. And it's like, it's because it makes sense. It's not because we're copying each other. It's like, if you're taking care of your essential needs, then you start seeing like, maybe I'm eating shit. Maybe I'm not really exercising. Maybe. So at the very end, it starts being meaningful. Meaning comes when you know what your values are, and your values are important when you know what you need. So needs, values, and meaning, super important in life.
Yeah.
So things that you, in the astrology, essential needs is Taurus or Venus. Values is the same, and meaning is Jupiter, Sagittarius. It's like, then you can find philosophy of this, and then you can write books about the meaning of life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, meanings, values, they're rabbit hole of its own, right?
Yeah, yeah. But then it's a combination, because a lot of people like to find meaning in other ideas. Like, you see everybody who's protesting. So they're, oh my God, these people are dying. But then you ask them about their own needs. They have no needs, because they actually became more connected to the needs of society. And this is the difference with Bitcoiners. We cannot fix society until we don't fix our own thing. Nobody's going to take care of me. We can be friends forever. And if I don't stack sats, and you stack a lot, you're not going to start saying, don't worry, Monica, if something happens, I'm going to give you half of my pile. No, you're not going to do that. And I don't expect that. You know what I mean? So it is a very responsible thing. And that is the planet Saturn in Capricorn is all about responsibility. It's about authority. It's about maturation. It's about like grow up. That's really that archetype I love the most.
Right, right. Out of all of the charts that you've read, I guess among Bitcoiners, have you seen any similarities or common trends among Bitcoiners in their charts?
Yes, it's amazing. Every time I just laugh all the time. Let's say that if you believe in reincarnation, or you believe that you have been here many times, this is what I feel. So Aquarius, it's very important in Bitcoin's chart, because that's where the direction of the North Node is. And I have found out that a lot of people who have this very strong in their chart, whether they have Aquarius or they have Uranus or they have something in the 11th house, are remembering, because Uranus and Aquarius is all about long time memory. That means that it's memory that is beyond the physical. So it's like where you keep all the unconscious. So I have a feeling that we all are remembering other times when we live in other societies where things went really bad, and we were traumatized by whatever we did. There were wars or taking advantage of other people, whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, it's been a history. This is not just the last century. This is going for a while. So I have a feeling that we came here with that memory so fresh that when we found, or Bitcoin or Bitcoin found us, there was something that it opened up and said, I have something to do that is not going to be only good for me, but for the collective, because Bitcoin is very collective. It is very responsible, but we're thinking about bettering the world, bettering civilization. It's not like, okay, I'm going to take my stack and go to the mountain and not care. No, actually, you need the others. You need community. You need to teach other people, because if you don't teach other people, the value of your stack is not going to keep on acquiring more appreciation. So I feel that this is the right time. I don't know who, and I'm not really crazy about finding out who Nakamoto, like I am not that obsessed with that, because I think that it was something that it was created out of our consciousness, so we can actually use this technology. So Aquarius is about technology, and technology is a skill. This is a skill that we need in order to remember that we're here to actually make the civilization better. But how are we going to do it? By bettering ourselves, by finding our own individuation. So it is something that goes back to the self.
This is one of the messages that I've been trying to push in the Bitcoin community, is that stacking sats is not enough. And at the end of the day, not one thing or one person can solve all of your life's problem. And you could have all the Bitcoin in the world, but at the end of the day, you are also responsible for taking care of your body, your mind, and your heart, and the relationships you have with other people, and the alignment. And I feel like people, we're going through a lot of existential crisis in our society right now on a global scale, and it's like regardless of age. And today people don't go through a midlife crisis or a puberty and that was it. Like today everybody, regardless of your age, where are you and your race and gender, everybody seems like a little bit of a soul.
I see something in the Bitcoin space. I mean, I've been kind of really in it in the last 2 years for full. Before I started stacking before, but I decided, okay, I'm ready to go out. I feel that And this is where I feel like my role could be. I feel like I could be like a bridge because I understand certain languages, and but it changes because I don't want to be defined by one thing. I feel that a lot of the Bitcoiners have worked with themselves, like their body. They have worked with finance, they have their families and stuff like that. But I see a gap, and I hope that they're going to start really getting in touch with their own like emotional traumatic past. We are all traumatized in this society. There's not one single person that has not gone through whatever, any country trauma, family trauma. So the sooner we open up our heart and start healing our emotional bodies, then when we build civilization, which is what we're doing, we're not going to have to carry old wounds from our parents or our grandparents. So that for me, that's why in Salvador, I was trying to, that conversation was a little bit more about mythology and how can you connect to that part that is so important that we all have, where we feel that either we're wounded or we feel that we're not doing the right thing and we're punished, but we have inside the spark, the light to really find our truth if we are willing to go deep. It's not easy. You know, to be Bitcoin, you have to do the work every time.
Yeah, I have to be brutally honest with ourselves. And that means facing certain things and getting over things and not running away from it to start with. So exactly.
Confront your fear. And this is one thing I learned, like I like to confront my fears and I treat them in a very like funny way. I can be very childish sometimes, like, or childlike. So I treat fear like if it's like a little toy, and I said, oh, you want to play with me? Let's come play. But it's interesting because when I treat it with tenderness and with this kind of joy that I'm 5 years old, the fear always goes away. And so I treat my emotions like that. And I learned all these techniques with my Zen teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh. He's from Thailand. And he taught me how to treat my emotions, the five emotions, with like this whimsical way of like talking to them, whether it was joy, fear, anxiety, sadness, anger. My favorite emotion was always anger. I was the angry kid. So now it's like I can feel it in my body because I've done a lot of that work. And I know when like something is frustrating me, you know, take a deep breath. And I said, I call myself, like my mom used to call me when I was little, like Moniquita, like what's happening? And I go, and I said, you want to go for a walk? And it's like if I was five. And so then I treat myself like that. And then I come back and I go, and my voice is like, yeah, I understand. That's frustrating. And I go, yeah, it is. And so I give myself that space. Mm-hmm. And the emotion goes, because in the past, what I used to do, I used to snap. And if I was angry at something and you were in front, I will be very rude to you. So it's a little bit of work, but I managed to do it. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. So you said there's a lot of like Aquarius energy in Bitcoiners charts that you find there's a commonality or a trend. Like, what does it mean? Like, what quality does it give to a person? Like, do they particularly long for community, or do they have a pursuit for anything that you can see from Bitcoiners?
The difference is Aquarius is anachronic. It's beyond time. Saturn, which is before, it's all about time. It's about maturation. It's still living in the realm of material. Uranus is like, I'm sorry, I don't believe in that kind of time. Like, I don't believe in that kind of time. So I'm going to do my own timing. And it's usually accelerated forward, and it can see the future. So it's a visioner. Aquarius is about vision. Because it's not so related to the now, it's always looking for another way of doing things. So that's why technology is so attached to Aquarius, because technology at the very end is a skill that you do something and you use a device to do something. Technology is very attached to Aquarius. Now it's also Aquarius is, or Uranus is about trauma. So it's about shocks, sudden, disrupt. You see, for instance, Donald Trump, he has a lot of Aquarius in his chart, and he is bringing forth a lot of disruption. I'm not talking about him, but I'm talking about his energy. Elon has a lot of Aquarius. He's bringing forth that. Seyfedean has Aquarius. Like, I mean, I can tell you everybody. Oh, Brinslow, my God, he's so Aquarian. It's like they're just trailblazers. They're just going ahead. What is important in Aquarius is like the vision is more important than anything else. So you're a visionary because you can see beyond now. And if people come and say, that's not going to work, you go back and go, what are you talking about? I'm already there. Like in my right? So that's one of the aspects that I see. Obviously, not everybody has to be born in February or not only, because in the chart I can find, like for instance, you do have, let me just check, you have something Aquarius. I think it's Uranus, which is the planet of yeah, you have Uranus at 0 degrees Aquarius. I mean, that makes you part of that generation that has the planet and the sign, and you have it in the second house. So for you, freedom is very important. Because that's what you give value to, but really came here. And so you're connected. When you heard about Bitcoin, when you understood Bitcoin, you said, oh, this is going to be my channel. This is how I'm going to do it. So you see, you start identifying with certain things that then you do. And another thing that's very important about Aquarius is like the contrary of Aquarius is Leo, it's the sun. So the sun is the celestial body that gives us light. So it's the most important. Without light, we're dead. But we all have a part of ourselves. We all have a parts of ourselves that want to shine and we want to express and have joy. So the contrary of Aquarius is the sun. So in order for you to be able to fulfill like independence and all that, you have to be authentic. You can't be following the other sheep's in the thing. So it is imperative that, because Aquarius is also about collective. But the thing is this, it's like if you have found who you are, what you want, and you're authentic, then the people you're going to attract and resonate are people who are also authentic. And then that's how Aquarius is going to build a new civilization with based people who are grounded, based, independent.
Interesting, interesting. If we shift the focus of everyone and the world in general from the teaching of astrology, what kind of world are we heading into in the next 3 to 5 years?
We're in a state of like dissolving. So imagine when you dissolve something, you have a glass of water and you put some drops that are green, chlorophyll, but you put a lot of water and you dissolve it, then the green is going to dissolve and disappear. So we're in this moment where society as we know it is disappearing. We are really disappearing. We're forgiving. Sometimes there's another trait about, okay, I'm gonna like dissolve, I'm gonna end this, and I'm gonna forgive and let go, because it's really the end of a very big cycle. Very big. Now, the people that you see fighting are the people who are not accepting what's happening. They're not, I mean, you can like and dislike, and that's okay. But if you see that the world is ending in a different way and you keep on fighting, I mean, that's resistance and that's a lot of energy. I did Tai Chi for many years, and the thing that you learn with Tai Chi is like you go with the flow and you take that energy and you transform it. You don't resist it because then you get tired. You're using energy in the wrong direction. So what I see right now is like by the summer, there's so many things that are going to keep on happening that every time I open to it, I'm just laughing because I don't watch any news, but I don't even. I'm like, oh, is that right? So this is what's happening. So right now, for instance, a lot of truths are being revealed. We kind of knew because as Bitcoiners, we don't trust government for a long time. Now, the big delusion, because it's not about dissolving, but delusion, you know, when you are expecting something and it doesn't come back, you could get disappointed. So I will say that 90% of the population are going to be extremely disappointed because they're not seeing things as they are. You know, one of the things that you learn when you meditate is like you learn how to see things for what they are. You don't make them up. You see things like the reality of things. So I think that we're in for a very big crash. The people who are not willing to do the work and proof of work are the ones who are going to suffer the most because they're going to be in a state of rejection and the energy that they have to fulfill their dreams, to take care of their needs, whatever, they're just wasting it. Wasting it. I mean, if it doesn't work, try to change it. You know, try to see what's the good things. There's a lot of disruption. Pluto enter into Aquarius. So there's a couple of things that are happening as well with Aquarius is acceleration. And technology, so AI and Bitcoin and everything that is technology is just gonna go like that. So I'm studying also AI. I've been like studying for like 7 months and really incredible what you can do with it in a way. I always been pro technology, so I'm not afraid of it. So I'm like, okay, let's see. This is another language. I treat AI as language because it is actually a language. What I see is this, like depending your generation, like my generation is Pluto, not powerful until I become like taking care of my needs. My generation is about trying to correct what is not working because it's in Virgo. For a long time, I wanted to fix society, fix everything. And then I realized I cannot fix society. Maybe I should accept who I am and who I'm not. So I surrender and I discern what I can do. So now, as a being that is 60 years old, I only give attention to what I can cope with. So if you come and you say you want to talk to me, and I go, yeah, that's a good idea, then I'm going to discern, and then I'm going to give my energy to this, and I'm going to fulfill it in a way that I'm true to that. So I'm not wasting any time. So I became more discerning with everything. I have a lot of Aquarius in my chart too. I'm an Aquarius rising. So it taught me how to, for instance, my Uranus is in the seventh house, which is the house of relationships. When I was growing up, I didn't understand why people either loved me or hated me. I was not the one in the middle. And I was crying all the time. And then I started realizing that maybe the nature of my reality was that I don't have to have the same people all the time. So I'm so used to, like, for instance, with pandemic and all that, I lost a lot of friends. Actually, there's a chapter in the book that said, does it hurt to lose that many friends? Of course it hurts, but I'm not going to go back just to be nice to other people. So I'm used to letting go things and dissolving it. So I understand this is what we have to live. So Aquarius are also detached. So there's a problem with detachment sometimes. It's disembodied. So you are aloof. I don't know if you know that word, aloof. You're like there, I don't feel it. So the whole idea of Aquarius is try to understand that there's a heart that wants to be happy, wants to be joyful, wants to be validated, wants to be a little boy or a little girl. And that sometimes too much detachment is not going to allow us like the capacity to feel in our heart.
Yeah.
So that's the balance we have to find between, yay, we're going to liberate. Everything is traumatic. Oh, weird technology. And then the other part is like, yeah, but I'm a little boy. I'm a little girl. I want to do this thing. So this is the balance that we're trying to find right now in society.
Yeah, wow. I personally feel a lot of that. It's a daily practice. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to balancing ourselves in this 3D world and still having to kind of realize things in the material world and align with our emotions. It is a really hard thing. And I want to move along to the next section where we talk about some of the ideas from your book, The Nature of My Reality. And your book breaks away from conventional structure. And if we just, I guess, if we open a random page, we can see there's a lot of colors, there's a lot of charts, and there are different ways of how information is organized. I've been really appreciating your insights and your story and how candidly you've been reflecting on your journey. There's so much deep philosophical insights that feels like more of an exploration along with your journey rather than a narrative. And I love how it seems like it's a collection of years' worth of contemplation and experience and personal journey. So let's dive deep in some of the topics you've touched on in the book, and some of we already kind of touched on. I wanted to go deeper on some of these topics. And the first is the spending versus saving wealth mentality. And you quoted Nietzsche on this. It requires more genius to spend than to acquire. And I'm sure for Bitcoiners, we're no strangers to saving. Why do you think spending wisely is actually harder than accumulating wealth?
Well, you have to go back to the principle of time and understanding that because it is scarce and I don't know when I'm going to die, I have to make very sure of how I'm valuing that time. And we also know that time is money. So if I spend, and I used to be a high time preference, I mean, I'm guilty as like, because I lived in New York. I did have a very different relationship to spending back. What it gave me so much value was understanding low time preference. And when I understood that through the Bitcoin standard, I was like, okay, this is gold. This is why Bitcoin is important. If you understand your relationship to time and the way that you have choices how to make that time and those decisions. So that's human action. So if you don't take responsibility for what you do, then you're going to be the victim. Oh, this happened to me. I didn't know how to do it. It's like, you know, come on. Organize yourself. So I put that quote there because at the very end, it's easy. For instance, for me, it was easy to earn money. It's always been easy because I have many talents and I'm good at selling myself. I'm never proud. But it was so difficult to manage my money because I was not saving. I was just enjoying. And maybe it has a lot to do with my mom after my father died. She was like, let's go out and enjoy. So I never thought that you could actually put money aside because it was always coming. But there was a moment after my divorce that money didn't come. And I think it was a moment where I realized like, I'm not planning and not having a plan is not a good plan. Like really, not having a body is not a good plan. So that's when I like got really into astrology to try to understand. And my first question to that astrology was like, where did I exit in the highway that I took the wrong exit? That was my question. And he goes, I said, can I do a U-turn? And everything my astrology was showing me that I was not paying attention to my needs. It was painful because I'm 50. And so I felt ashamed. I didn't know how to take care of myself. So it opened up a lot of stuff that made me be more tender with myself, not so like that. And so I said, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do. And I remember looking up and said, I'll do whatever it takes
right.
to learn this lesson, because maybe this is my lesson in this life. And I didn't know. So yeah, so I think that I started valuing time and money in a very different way. And when I started, that's when Bitcoin arrived. So you see, you start attracting something that is going to relate you to that thing that you have to learn. So for me,
right.
Bitcoin came in the moment that I actually have to actualize the way I relate to my own essential needs and how I'm going to save or not save. So there's another chapter that's like, there's no savings because I didn't have any. I didn't know what that was. Yeah.
Right, right. The habit of spending, like spending wisely, they're different elements to that question, right? You have to know what to spend on to begin with. And that goes back to who you are as a person. Like that goes back to value and goes back to
yes.
self-awareness
and being
conscious about what's going on with you as a person.
You know, there's a word that I love is invest. It's a Latin word that means to be dressed up. So when you want to invest in something, you're taking the shape and you're like kind of embodying this. So I used to invest a lot in my work. Like I will sell artwork and I will say something for $20,000. I will spend $19,999 in the next work. Never save. And so, and I used to create very expensive stuff. By the end of many years, I realized I have a lot of storage with things that they did sell, other things they didn't sell. And there I am like paying storage. And I said like, how come I didn't make that math? Because I didn't have a relationship that understood where I was like debasing my own time. It was not, it was even beyond inflation. I was inflating also my own self because I was not valuing. I was just producing, producing, producing. And it's funny, I became an artist that only does commissions because when I understood the value and scarcity, I said, I don't want to have anything available. So if you want me, you have to pay me in advance. You have to wait for my timing. You have to pay me a proposal thing. And people are like, oh my God. And I'm like, I have to shift it because otherwise, if you have 100 things in the storage, you're always paying for that thing. So it was a very important learning. And because it is so important in my chart is all about value. It's all about value. That's why I'm so connected to Austrian economics and like three axioms that I really love. One is low time preference. The other one is human action. And the third one is nonviolence. It's very important. So I kind of always play around those three, and there are more axioms, but these are the ones that I feel so connected. Nonviolence for me is important because I grew up in a country with a lot of violence, and understanding that if I respect my property and the property of the others, then we can actually collaborate. And because of COVID as well, I felt like I was violated because I was asked to do something against me. So that's when I went like, I really have to understand natural law and what it's really, what I have to protect.
For you personally, what was the most challenging thing when you were making the transition from a really extra lifestyle and overspending to returning to something that's more essential and perhaps probably more minimalistic? What was the biggest challenge in that process?
I think that what happened was like, there was a moment of when I got a divorce and things were not like, my life was kind of like dissolving, like we are right now with the world, like everything was crumbling down. So the moment that I surrendered that this is what's happening, because I was like, no, it's not happening. I was trying to fix it. And then one day I actually went to the sea. I was living still in New York, but my sister lives not far away. And I went to the sea and I went in and I said, what shall I do? And the sea said to me, you have to surrender. And I remember going like, I already surrendered. No, you haven't. And I said, okay, so what does that mean? So I was meditating for months about what does it mean to just, because surrendering is not the same as giving up. So I said, okay, I'm going to start pushing something that is not working anymore. And so I remember my intention was like, okay, tell me when to leave and where to go. So I did leave New York, and I don't think it became a challenge because it was something that what was challenging was the crisis. But once I made the decision, everything started falling into place. So I had a dream in 2020 that I should come to Miami. And I remember I woke up in the middle of the dream. It's like, I want to drive. Don't worry, you can live in Miami Beach. And I was like, okay, when? And she's 3 weeks. 3 weeks? Okay, so I packed. So there was no challenge. Actually, everything started really working for me when I moved to Miami. But it was not Miami, it was my attitude that I said, and that's when I started studying Bitcoin, Austrian economy. Like, so everything started make sense. And that's why I say for me, Bitcoin is a state of consciousness because it synthesized everything I've done before. It gave me all the meaning in the world. It's in Bitcoin. But Bitcoin has many levels.
Right. And I have this very quote on my note. Like many guests on this show have been asked the question of what is Bitcoin to you, and we've heard all sorts of answers. And for you've shared in the book that Bitcoin is a state of consciousness. That's a bold claim. Like, why do you think this is the case for you, and how does it manifest in your life?
So you see, consciousness means awareness. So when you give light to something, you become aware of it. So for me, consciousness is the state that I am, that I have been slowly giving light to things that are automatic or habits or in my unconscious. And because I've been doing work, meditation and, astrology and all this, I'm always looking for those things that I can put light to. So they reveal themselves, and then I can use them as something that emerges for something new. So because let's say Bitcoin came into my life when I was 50 something, I had already done so many turns that when it came to me, I was able to understand the profound thing that had just happened. So I was like, this is a state of consciousness because I'm so conscious about every other level in my life. The gift that he's giving me. So that's why for me, can I be, oh, it's only economic. It's like everything, yeah.
Wow, so it's like kind of like the middle piece of the puzzle where when you found it in the middle of the street when you're just walking outside. First, you need to know enough of your existing puzzle to recognize that that's the one, and
Yes.
that's a thing by itself.
Yeah, because you can walk another day in another street and you don't see it. But I'm also not looking for it. I'm just like, okay, I'm dealing with life. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, look at this. Then having that relationship with Bitcoin from the very beginning, that it was this like, oh, I actually do a lot of intentional work. Wanted to.
Oftentimes it comes down to leap of faith, and taking a leap of faith is one of my favorite topics, at least, to discuss on this show with many guests, because regardless of your circumstances and life stages and gender and just general things about everybody, like there are gonna be times where there are a place you wanna go, but you have fear and doubt, but you really want to go there. And it comes down to leap of faith. And oftentimes, even we feel like we're prepared, and we can never be fully prepared for anything, really. So it always really, if we really think about it, it always comes down to leap of faith, regardless.
It's taking having the courage to say, is this what I want? Yeah, but it's going to require a little bit of effort. And you go, okay, how much I want it? Oh, I really want it. And then you just go, okay, I'll make the phone call. I go over there. I talk to that person. And that's what I've been doing. Like last year, I said, I want to finish the book, which I did. And then I said, I want to be in podcasts and I want to be talking in conferences. And I said, but I cannot just sit down here and wait for people to do all of the three things. So I had to do a lot of proof of work and believe it, because we have to have that faith in ourselves, as you say. It's very important, yeah.
Right. And then the whole acting thing, you also say that Bitcoin meets you where you are, but you gotta act. What do you mean by this?
I say Bitcoin meets you where you're at, because we all have very different paths and different times in our lives where we are, like the arc of our life is different. So it's going to meet you whenever you're ready. But when you're ready, it's not going to come and sit down. Bitcoin is not waiting for you in the garage. So like I have the Bitcoin. You got to be active about it. You have to make decisions about it. So it is there, but if you do not take advantage of your own actions and you're not understanding what you're doing, it's not going to do anything. Bitcoin is inanimated. So you got to act.
Speaking of action, it starts from, I guess, an evaluation of the current situation, the status quo, and our direction. And you also say that there's grace and humility in accepting what is. It seems like a repeating theme in your book and a guiding principle of yours when you deal with adversity and trauma and in the process of healing. And then you also say that breaking up or breaking free is no longer the first option, and you spent time observing the gems that can arise from relational values. What's the challenge of accepting what is?
Well, in my case, for instance, was that it was very painful, always still is painful when I have to break away from things because I want to liberate myself. And that really carry a lot of weight in myself because it is painful for me to break because it's painful. And so I decided that I'm going to do more like a journey where I will be very honest to myself when things have reached their end. So I don't have to push things. Let's say relationships, let's say with my marriage, my ex-husband found somebody else and I said, go. I will never stay with somebody that doesn't want to be with me. So I have that clarity. So I don't have to go against. So I accept that there was this possibility for him meeting somebody else. He didn't do it in a very nice way. So that was painful. So then I was even more angry. But I said, he wanted back. And I said, no, you broke everything. And there's no way for me to go back because you were not sincere from the very beginning. The acceptance is when you see things as they are. And you understand that there's certain things they don't have a life anymore. And you have to be very honest. If this is what I want, this is what I need, and how I'm going to give meaning to that. And we know deep inside, if you have a real consciousness, that there's certain things that are not working anymore. Now, a lot of people, including myself, at times we lie to ourselves because we are more projecting an idea than actually being in reality of what things are. So the surrendering to what is related to the way you relate to reality. So it's just understanding your relationship to what you want and if you're projecting an expectation or you're seeing it as it is. So it's related. Acceptance. Acceptance is a big one.
Do you think there are some prerequisites to achieve accepting things as is with peace? Because we can accept what things are and with anger, with grief, with sorrow. Is that, if we accepting certain things with these emotions, are we accepting them in your opinion?
Well, the thing is, this is like for surrendering, you have to have discernment. So again, that's Pisces and Virgo. So Pisces is the end of things. It's like, okay, the end of the cycle. I'm going to accept this is finished. But the other opposition is saying, let's see what is finished or not. Let's discern. Let's see without judgment if this serves and it doesn't serve. I don't know if you ever saw that Netflix thing. It was called, what's the name of it? This woman, Japanese, that it was folding things and throwing away. Marie Kondo.
Right.
So Marie Kondo was telling you, how does that make you feel? It's like, I'm not going to wear it. Okay, so you start having a relationship with things, situations, and people, and then you can start being honest about it. And then you say, I'm going to discern what I need and I don't need. And then that's when you accept that there's certain things should go to charity, other things should go to Facebook Marketplace, and other things just purely to the trash. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's so many repeating themes because it comes back to who you are, right? It comes back to who you are and who you want to be. There's a lot of intertwined time tenses here. The past, present, and the future really are close knit together pretty much
in the now
time. Yes, in the now.
But it's in the now because the now is the only time where you can actually make changes.
Yes.
It's the only one.
Yes.
It's when you have like this or that, because you can sit down and think about your past and cry or like, oh, that was so nice, or be afraid of the future. And so you don't take action, or you're angry at it. And so you're going to take the wrong action, et cetera, et cetera. Or you're too sad to wake up and you get depressed or you don't do much.
Yeah.
So at the very end, it is how to synthesize the moment by moment and know your chart. Like one of the things that I always say, people is know thyself. It doesn't have to be with the chart. You have to know who you are, what you want, what your dreams are. Make the homework, write it down. Another thing that I wanted to do in the book is like leave some space. That's why I have questions. And at the very end, it's like if you're in a journey, you probably have different questions, but I hope you have questions, because without the questions, how are you living a life without questions?
From choosing between breaking up, breaking free, / spending time and be patient and wait for that relational value, the gems to form, right? So as individuals, how do we recognize a timing to know when do I stay and when do I go? So because sometimes if we stay and we observe, have patience, so the situation is going to lead to growth and clear out the chaotic path by itself. But there are times where it's okay to quit. There are times that we should quit so we can start fresh soon. So as individuals, do you have a guideline where you personally discern when to stay and when
not? Yeah, I would say let's do your chart and find out how, what your authority is. Like in your chart in human design, like you are deciding a lot of things through speaking things up, and you're talking to me, you get answers. That's why you're questioning things. That's your authority is like you become aware of yourself when you question things, and you're very methodic about it like that. Me, I have to wait for cycles of time because I'm an emotional being, and so I have to wait. Sometimes, like, there's no one way. It's like, let's go and look at your chart and see how you're made and what are your tools, so I can tell you what your tools that probably you already know you have, but these are the tools, and then you can start using them. That's why I think that astrology and human design becomes such a great tool, because then you're not mimicking reading a book and copying the book. And again, I wrote this in the book. This is not a manual of how to do it. This is showing you that I did it. Now you go and do yourself.
Right.
For you, for instance, because of your chart, I'm looking at it. So you always have a question between the I am and the other. You're very mindful about the other, which is part of your path. Now, because you're a seeker of truth, what I would say that it will be your answer is like, go and do it and find out. You only find out with experience. You can read all the books, and the books are not going to give you the answer. It is the journey. You're a pilgrim. It's a journey that you have to embody to be your own person, and then find that balance with the rest of the world. And when you are aligned with that, you're good. If you are misaligned because you start paying more attention about others and you don't have leverage about your needs, you already know deep inside, this is not my path. So you start getting to know you, and then you start becoming aware of how you're relating to things, because that's how we do it. So yeah, that's what I see. You're very independent. You love freedom, but you're also very strategic in a good way. For you, time is very important and structure, and you need the structure in order to expand yourself. So you have very good qualities there.
That's nice. I imagine different people based on their circumstances, upbringing, and personalities, and more fundamental things beneath all these layers, they would have their way of understanding the world that would particularly work for them.
Let's say that I find somebody else who was born the same day, the same hour, and they are, I don't know, the middle of Africa. You both will have the same tendencies, but they will be developed very differently based on the conditions of your families and then what you chose. You will have similar stuff. I actually have a story, very interesting. I met when I was 30, I met somebody who was born the same day as I was, a few hours before, and we became lovers. And it was like being together with my other self. It was beautiful. I fell in love with myself just being with him. But obviously, we were so connected that we couldn't grow, because he was like, oh, you're great. Oh, you're great. Oh my God, you're so great. No, you're better, like that. And we're still very good friends. Interesting, because the way his life was chosen, very different circumstances, and he chose different things. He was an artist. Actually, because of him, I became an artist, because he was very successful and I saw what he was doing, and he didn't go to art school. And he gave me the idea of like, I can do it by myself. So he was an inspiration in my life. He was. Because I
Wow.
saw my potential. He was so much like many things. I was like, oh, if he did it, I can do it. But very different circumstances. You know, he was a man, I was a woman, he was from another country, stuff like that. So that gave me so much parameters that it doesn't matter if you're even twins, they're born, but you always have willpower. So
Yeah.
it depends on what you relate to your own decision making. Human action, again, so important, human action. For me, it's one of my favorite things.
By interacting with others and having relationship with the external world, everything can be used as a mirror to understand the type of person we are and our needs. So let's seize it and make this life our best life and cherish all of the relationship we have because that's what matters. And thank you so much, Monica, for sharing with us your journey and insights. This is another episode of Life with Bitcoin. I'm your host, Vivian, and I will see you in another one. Thank you, Monica.